This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode 227 of the Handgun World podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are not happy times for me. I hate to start off this podcast on a negative note. But you need to know. And I appreciate you bearing with me, but I am going through a horribly difficult time right now in my personal life. A family member of mine has some very, very serious health troubles. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. When there's more details that we can release and we deal with more things that we're dealing with, I will let you know. But this is right now a family matter that we have to deal with amongst our immediate family. And so my heart is heavy and I'm aching and I'm hurting. And I just want you to know that. However, reason I'm doing this podcast right now is I do need a bit of an escape, and I'm going to continue to do this show because I do need an escape once in a while. I may not be as active as I have been, like on Facebook and stuff like that, and on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum, I might not be as active on that, but I'm going to keep putting out a show. Almost every week. Forgive me if once in a while, if a week goes by, a week or two goes by, and I don't put it out, it's because I'm tending to more important matters, which is family. Folks, there's nothing more important than family. I was not prepared for this. You know, I've been a prepper, and I got to tell you, the stinks hit the fan in my family. It has. You know, the crap's hit the fan in my family in a big way. And so I'm going to rely on my resolve. I'm going to rely on my preparedness. I'm going to rely on the good friends that I have and the family that I have around me. Many of you have already responded to me on Facebook and you have emailed me. Some of you that have my cell phone number, you've texted me. Thank you very much. And there'll be more details coming forward, but my heart is extremely heavy, and I'm going through all kinds of emotions right now, so please bear with me. So, sorry, I got a bit choked up there. Okay, let's get to guns, because you don't want to hear a whole lot of this depressing stuff, do you? Well, first of all, I think there's been some good news. On the gun rights radio, on the gun rights front, and that is the bill in the Senate to expand the universal background checks failed, went down in flames. You know, I'm convinced that that was nothing more than an attempt to just gather information, to build a database to lead to other things, to either lead to gun owner registration or gun registration. Or too much of an invasion of privacy. I'm convinced that that's really what that was an attempt to do. So I'm glad it got shot down. Folks, I think it got shot down because of your efforts. Because of your efforts to support the NRA and the Second Amendment Foundation. Keep it up. Because we are fighting. Because we are contacting our legislatures. Our legislators, and of course your state legislatures too. That makes a difference. Because we're doing that, that's why these politicians are responding. So keep it up. Let's not quit. Let's not say, okay, victory won. You know, victory won. Let's all do the happy dance. No, we can't do the happy dance. I do hope that this starts to diminish some gun control fears. I hope that ammo sales normalize. I hope that gun sales normalize a little bit, at least a little closer to normal. Maybe not like it was a year ago, but a little bit closer to normal. So that's what I wanted to say on that. Well, because I'm not in a real terrific emotional state of mind right now, I'm going to play for you Ben Branham's recent middle of the week podcast that he actually submitted for the middle of the week. But because of circumstances, I didn't get it done. And by the way, those of you who know me, and it's those of you who know what this is all about, please don't say anything. Please keep this 100% confidential to yourself. Those of you who know the details, there are certain family members of mine who do not know. And I'll leave it at that. So please do not repeat it, because I want to be able to let family know as my wife and I see fit. I'm fine, folks. I'm fine. Okay? Nothing wrong with me except for my emotions right now. So Ben Branham did a really good podcast on pistol caliber carbines. So I think we're going to end the show with Ben Branham's pistol caliber carbine podcast coming. He did a nice job. And don't forget about his podcast, Modern Self-Protection Podcast. Ben and I have, on May 11th, we have a rifle course, an AR rifle course coming up. I will be there. That'll be a great escape for me. I'll be there with my AR-15 rifle, pretty much being a student, because I need to get my fundamentals down with my AR-15. April 27th, coming up actually next weekend, I'm going to carry through and do my Texas CHL class. I've got a significant amount of people signed up for it. I'm going to carry through with my commitments. May 18th and 19th, close-range gunfighting. Come train with me. Do the Suarez International close-range gunfighting course. I think it'll definitely be a game-changer. I'll put my happy hat on, and I'm going to carry forward. I'm going to carry forward with the commitments that I've got going right now as best as I can. And I do intend to carry forward at the very least with those. I intend to carry forward with the next three training classes I have coming up and almost a podcast every week. So you can find all the information at handgunworld.com. And by the way, one last thing, Ben Branham and I just put up a really good video, a new one, on the Shooters Club podcast. So if you want to become a member and help support the efforts that Ben and I are doing, go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, get signed up. You can also view a sample video on the Shooters Club page. I'm going to pause for a second. Okay, sorry about that. I had to grab a call there. My mom called, and I need all the family support I can get right now. Please pray for me, folks. This is going to test my faith in a big way. And I appreciate, once again, all that you have done for me so far. Okay, without further ado, Ben Branham's originally scheduled middle-of-the-week show on pistol caliber carbines. As usual, I will start a thread on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum about this, and I'll start a Facebook thread about it as well.
Hello, and welcome to the Handgun World Podcast. Today, I'm going to be your host, Ben Branham. Bob's given me a little bit of time to talk to you guys, and I really appreciate it because handguns are one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. Just got done with a course last week, and I am all excited and jazzed again about handguns. Anyways, this week, I thought I'd get together for a quick episode, this MSP midweek, on pistol caliber carbines versus rifles. There's a lot to be said about them, and there's a lot of advantages and disadvantages. Thought I'd get together and just talk to you about them real quick. But first, there's a couple announcements coming up. In May, there's going to be a rifle course. It's Defensive AR. I'm teaching that one for Modern Self-Protection. You can find that at modernselfprotection.com/courses. And then Bob is teaching a Suarez International course, May 18th and 19th, the close-range gunfighting course, their handgun flagship course. I haven't got a chance to take that one yet, but it sounds awesome. You can find that one by going over to his website, at handgunworld.com and click on courses, or there's a course tab on the top just for Suarez International Close Range Gunfighting. And you can see all the other courses that I'm offering and he's offering over on those websites. Go check them out. I also have a blog that I do weekly and a podcast over on my website. You can go check those out at modernselfprotection.com. If you like what you hear here, you might like what I write over there. Anyways, today, let's talk about pistol carbines. I love the idea of pistol carbines. Always have, always will. And I keep playing with more and more of them. I'm trying to find the one that's right for me. The problem is the ATF gets in the way, and they call those short-barreled rifle things really the limit what your pistol carbine can do. And without getting the tax stamp, there's a lot of, you lose a lot of the advantages and gain a lot of, it's a big pain in the butt. Anyways, I am actually waiting. I ordered a Timberwolf frame from Lone Wolf Distributors, and I'm going to replace that as my carry Glock. And then my carry Glock, I'm going to do the ATF stamp on and turn that into like a little submachine gun kind of looking thing, just a short-barreled rifle. So it's going to be a pistol with a stock on it pretty much. And that's what I think the pistol carbines are really supposed to be. Something that small and that, like, that maneuverable. So here we go. Some of the cool advantages and disadvantages of the pistol carbines. Let's start off with the advantages. I mean, one of the glaring obvious advantages is it's the same kind of ammo. I don't know about you, but I like that idea of only having to stock one ammo and only having to carry one type of ammo. Even better is a lot of these things are taking the same magazines as your pistol. That's even better. You can carry the same magazines and you don't have to worry about anything in your bailout bag. So if I take a bailout bag and the world is gone over the edge, or just Katrina is happening in my neighborhood, or the LA riots, I can grab my go bag with a bunch of Glock magazines in there and grab my pistol caliber carbine and still use the same magazines in both guns. I only have to carry one type of ammo and only one type of magazine. I don't have to worry about stocking both or carrying both. Magazines, I mean, that's obvious. I can slap whatever magazine I have into the carbine or the pistol, and I'm never down one or the other. If I lose my rifle, I still got just as many rounds for my pistol, and vice versa. With a rifle, I got to carry different kinds of ammo, different magazines, and it becomes a logistical thing, just kind of a pain, and I have to remember that I only have so many. If my rifle goes down for some reason, breaks, now I only have a limited supply of ammo for my pistol, where if I had it just the carbine, I'd have the same amount either way. Big advantage to normal self-defense and your carbine is the amount of noise. If you've ever tried to fire a rifle inside without hearing protection on, wow. There was a big push back in the early 2000s for LA and kind of Orange County, that kind of area of Southern California, to start equipping their rifles, because they were all going to ARs at the time, with suppressors for the police officers. And it wasn't so they could be silent and not be heard or anything like that. It was because the law enforcement that was using these things and taking them into raids and stuff, they would fire them and everybody in the freaking room would be deaf after you fired the rifle. And you had permanent long-term hearing loss, and it really was a safety issue for the officers. They should have been wearing hearing protection. I don't know about you, but if something goes bump in the night and I get my rifle, I'm not really thinking grab my hearing protection, even though you probably should be if you're going to fire a rifle inside. We also put, especially on our ARs and our AKs, we like to put those cool muzzle brakes on. And they are awesome, and there are some spectacular ones out there right now. But that makes the rifle even louder when you're shooting it down a hallway or something. And the rifle can be so loud that, in fact, I was out on a hunt one time, and I was hunting hog, and then we couldn't find any, so we ended up hunting varmints from the back of a truck. And I leaned over the truck's cab, and I wanted to lean over far so I wouldn't hit the hood, because a raccoon was in front and they were trying to keep them out of the feeders. And I shot the raccoon, but I have a muzzle brake on my AR and I wasn't wearing hearing pro, and it was so loud just reverberating off of the truck that it rang my chimes. I could not have done quick follow-up shots because it was painful and gave me that kind of like loopiness that you get after being hit. It really rang my chimes. So think about your hearing. Noise is a big factor. The pistol carbines are not going to be anywhere near as loud as your rifle. Depending on which rifle you have and which carbine, recoil is substantial. If we're talking about an M1A1 or a 308, you know, full battlefield rifle versus an MP5, the recoil is astronomically smaller on a pistol caliber carbine over a full battle rifle. But the AR doesn't recoil that much. The AK recoils a little bit more, and it can all be overcome. And then your advantages for that carbine, too, in self-defense, it kind of comes over your handgun that the ballistics will actually be better than your handgun. Marginally so, but anything better is better, right? I always think about and tell people about stuff, especially the guys that work for me. If your pay is going up, it's going in the right direction. And we've had a couple small pay raises that have only been a couple bucks here and there, but as long as it's going up, it's going in the right direction. With handguns, that's a big deal. So with the pistol caliber carbines, you have it going up in the right direction. And the best thing I can give to you example on that is the 40 caliber. Now, a 40 caliber handgun we know is, well, I was going to say pretty effective, but it's effective compared to other handgun rounds. But we know that 10 millimeter is more effective and a lot more punch. What's the difference between the 10 and the 40? The case is bigger. There's more powder. So the bullet is moving faster. You are literally loading the same bullet in a 40 or a 10 millimeter. We're just changing the powder and what case it goes into. And therefore, when I put more case and more powder behind it, I can get it to go to higher velocities. Well, I take that 40 and I put it in a rifle and I get that extra barrel length. And now I'm getting those 10 millimeter ballistics or higher out of that. Same thing with the 9mm. If I take that 9mm round, put it in a rifle, that longer barrel, that thing starts cooking faster, and I start getting ballistic numbers that look more like a 357 Magnum than a 9mm pistol. So it pushes that envelope a little bit. It's not much, but hey, anything going in the right direction with a pistol round is a good idea. Now, a couple of the things that I've shot, and I really liked some of them and really liked other ones. Well, let's talk about the disadvantages first. Disadvantages to a pistol caliber carbine. Over-penetration. I know you're like, what? Rifle's more powerful, blah, blah, blah. Hey, your disadvantage is your over-penetration there. It's not going to... Your pistol round will actually penetrate more wall and more body than your rifle round will. Unless we get into like a 50 or a 338 Lapua. But I'm talking about your 308, 223, 6.5, 6.8 SPR, SBC, all those things that you think is a self-defense round, your rifle round is actually going to penetrate less people, less flesh, and less wall than your handgun round will. Your handgun round is going to hit that wall board in your house, plug up that hollow point cavity, turn into a full metal jacket, and now you've got a lot of weight going behind that thing, so it retains its speed going through the wall. Whereas if you look at the rifle round, especially a 223, that thing is only 55 grains. It weighs a third of what a 9mm bullet does. So it hits the wall, and it immediately starts to bleed off speed real fast. So you only get a couple walls with a 223 rifle that it'll go through when you get like 9 or 10 walls that your 9mm will go through. So over-penetration is a big issue. And also, your rifle round really won't penetrate flesh as much as your pistol round will, especially coming out of a carbine. You can get less penetration out of your rifle round. Another disadvantage is the length or the size of the carbine. Unless we talk about that tax stamp here in America, that ATF, you know, BATFE, they used to be the ATF, now they're the BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. When did they add three letters to that? Anyways, they kind of get in the way and they get upset if you start putting a stock on a handgun and calling it a rifle. Got to have that 16-inch barrel. Got to have that overall length of 26 inches. That's federal law. Your local laws might be worse than that. But either way, I got 16 inches of rifle barrel, whether I'm shooting my 9mm or I'm shooting a 5.56. The 5.56 compared to a 9mm is devastating when it comes to terminal ballistics. I just did a show on ballistics last week. If you want to know all about that stuff, go over to modernselfprotection.com and check out podcast 34 on ballistics. but it's just devastating compared to your handgun. Even your handgun going out of that 16-inch barrel, the 9mm round is going to be puny compared to what an AR round will do, or a 308 or a 6.8 or any of these other modern self-defense rounds are just going to be devastating compared to what a handgun round will do. So you got the same size rifle with the same thing. What I've found is that the pistol carbines are a little bit lighter, which I actually like, and the rifle rounds are a little bit heavier, but people seem to not care. We keep strapping more and more onto our rifles lately, and we're turning a 6.5-pound M16 into a 9.5-10-pound battle rifle, and just you're doubling the weight on the thing. Seems heavy to me, and maybe I'm weak, maybe I don't know. Maybe I've just carried a rifle for miles and miles and miles. When you're talking about carrying it for 20 miles, that 3 pounds is a big, huge difference. Anyways, so there's your disadvantages, your length and size, because it has to be the same. The power, you're underpowered compared to the other stuff. Another disadvantage is your ammo weight. Take a 30-round magazine of 9mm or 45, ouch, that's heavy, compared to a standard AR 223 magazine of 30 rounds. The ammo is actually heavier in the pistol than it is in the rifle. And it's kind of bigger, bulkier, too. I don't know why. The 223 just seems easier to store, especially in magazines, than your pistol carbines. I mean, a 30-round stick magazine for my Glock is pretty long, where a 223 magazine for my AR is pretty small and compact, thin, kind of single-stack thing looking. I don't know. They're harder for me to carry. So the rifle just seems easier. I just shove it in a back pocket. A rifle magazine fits exceptionally well in the back pocket of a jeans, whereas your handgun round kind of falls around. If you put a 30-round stick magazine back there, who knows if it'll be there or not. When you put that 30-round AR mag back there, it seems to stay. Magazine capacity is another disadvantage. I talked about Glock 30-round stick magazines. Good luck finding any right now. But on a normal basis, you know, our handguns are 15, 17, sometimes 19 or 20 rounds. But the rifle seems to be, the battle rifles are all 20 rounds and up, and the ARs are all 30 rounds and up. So you don't get as much magazine capacity. We talked about the ballistics a little bit. The last disadvantage that I could think of that might want me to keep away from the pistol carbines is that they're uncommon parts in magazines. I mean, unless you get one of the guns that runs a Glock magazine, you're talking about proprietary magazines. Like an MP5, it runs a special magazine. MP10s, that 45 version of the MP5, kind of the space age looking one, same thing. It's running its own magazine. Nothing else takes that magazine. So you kind of find those magazines. AR magazines, even right now with the whole scare on, I can still find those. I can't find Glock magazines right now. Forget finding an MP5 magazine or something like that. It just ain't going to happen. So you got to kind of look around. Just a fun part of this episode, that was the meat and the potatoes. Some of the stuff that I've shot that I like and don't like. Ruger used to make this PC9, and it took the same magazines as their P89 9mm series handguns. I think that's an awesome idea if you're going to use a pistol carbine. Get one that will take the same magazines as your pistol does. Makes it super easy. Makes those advantages stand out a lot. That Ruger was so nice to shoot. I rented one time. Like zero recoil, just nice trigger. Controls were super easy. To me, it felt like I was shoving a 9mm magazine into my Ruger 10/22. And it shot about the same, and it felt a lot about the same, and it worked almost the same. It was super simple. I really missed that. I wish Ruger would come out with that for their SR series pistols and make that carbine again. But I guess the PC stood for police carbine. I guess it just didn't catch on. It came out at the same time that all the departments were going to the AR and away from the MP5 and away from the shotgun. Not exactly good timing, but it was still a great little rifle, and I wish I had one. I wish I had bought one. They were super cheap at the time, too. Oh, well, should have bought one. Should have, could have, would have, huh? Great little rifle, though. Other things I've shot, an MP5. Well, an MP5 is just that thing. It speaks for itself. It's an MP5. Those things are pretty awesome. But the problem with that is if you can't have the ones that the military and law enforcement can have, and you have to have a 16-inch barrel with a stock, it loses a lot of its advantages of being an MP5. MP5, I want the folding wire stock, the 6 or 8-inch barrel, and the full auto switch. That's where the MP5 comes into its own. And it's a direct blowback or delayed blowback just an awesome, awesome gun. The accuracy was phenomenal. You can make hits out to 100 yards without any problems. And then it was really controllable, even with the short barrel and kind of the half-folding stock. And they made a cool stock on those. I mean, if you haven't, if you think about that, the stock was that kind of that wire, two-wire stock, and it would fold straight in and pull straight back. No side folding crap to worry about. When you folded the stock, you just pushed the button and slammed it all the way against the receiver. When you wanted it to come out, push the little lever button thing and pull it all the way out. Really, really cool design. Well, let's face it, they make good weapons. HK always has, probably always will, I hope. Other one I got to play with one time was an MP10. That's the little 45 version. It was space age compared to the MP5, and it was pretty cool. It was all plastic and took plastic stick magazines. They looked like something that should have gone into a Thompson made out of plastic. Zero recoil, nice to shoot, controllable on full auto. But, hey, 45 ammo is heavy. Not something I'd want to carry. And it was a little bigger to take the 45 round and the space age plastic. Plastic is actually thicker than the metal. Look at your Glock magazine versus another. Take a 9mm Glock magazine versus a 9mm any magazine, Springfield XD. They're made out of metal. The metal is a lot thinner than the plastic. So that was the thing with the MP10. The rifle was substantially bigger to me, and I don't think you got anything out of it. I've shot Caltech's little sub-2000. Sub-2000, is that one? I don't know. Caltech makes a fold-and-a-half 9mm carbine. Really cool little conceptual gun. I thought it was something I wanted to go with because you still got the 16-inch barrel, but it folds in half to storage. And if you guys know me, I carry an AK in my vehicle instead of an AR because the AK stock folds and I can hide it better, and it doesn't look like a rifle when I take it back and forth to my house and in and out of hotels. It looks like just a bag, and I call it equipment. But the Caltech would do the same thing. I finally got to shoot one. And the Caltech, the other advantage, it will run Glock magazines, and you can buy different versions that will run different magazines. I forget what all they make, but you can look at their site and find out what they make for different handguns. And you can actually get one that will take SIG magazines. So if you're a SIG 9mm shooter, you can buy the Caltech that will take the SIG magazines, same as your handgun. And that's a huge advantage, along with it folds in half. I found the sights hard to use, and the weapons manipulation was totally different because the bolt was actually like to run the gun, you had to reach underneath the stock is where you would pull the bolt back and let it go and where you'd lock the bolt open. Really weird. Never played with anything like that. And the other thing is the sights were hard to use. And then I don't know why, you know, maybe I'm used to shooting that Ruger and that MP5 that had like zero recoil. The Caltech seemed to beat me up. It was a lot of recoil. It felt like it recoiled more than an AR, which was really weird for me. I don't understand, but really cool concept. If you get over the recoil and how the operation of the gun works, I didn't have any problems making hits on little tiny plates at 25 yards. Unfortunately, I couldn't get it out on a long range to play with it, but it was really easy, really fast to shoot, lots of fun. I played with an Uzi once. That was a lot of fun. Took a class. Got to play with the full auto ones, with the collapsible stock and the short little like 8-inch barrel. Really fun. But if you want the civilian legal one, same thing with the MP5. You got to get that 16-inch barrel and the stock, and you cut down a bunch of what that weapon should be. Still a great weapon if you can get an ATF stamp on one or something. Even if you don't run it full auto and it's just semi, still a cool gun. Magazines are still a dime a dozen. You can find those out there even now. But it's kind of heavy. You know, it's not plastic. It was a steel-stamped gun with a lot of internal parts in it. And it fired from the open bolt for an autoloader. Really weird gun. If you haven't fired something from the open bolt, really, really weird. And I had never fired a rifle I fired machine guns, but never a rifle or a subgun or something that size from the open bolt. It was really weird. When you fired it, it felt like you could feel it almost fire twice. When you pulled the trigger, it would release the bolt, and the bolt would be locked open, and it would go home, and you could feel it chunk and then fire. Really weird feeling. Wasn't too impressed. Didn't like it. Just personal preference. The gun is fine. Israelis can make that thing shoot out to 200 meters with that little tiny, like, 6-inch barrel and their collapsible stock, and the magazine goes in the pistol grip of the gun, which I think is where you should make it. Caltech does the same thing. Kind of the where you should make the magazine go on a, one of these little carbines so that you don't have to learn something different. It works exactly like your handgun. Really fun class, really controllable on full auto. It cycles really slow. Kind of cool. The MP5 cycles at like 1,200 rounds a minute. The Uzi cycles at like 600. So instead of the MP5 going, you got the Uzi going, tut, 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 tut. A lot of fun, but not something I'd really want to use to defend myself or take into battle. I got to play with one of the Beretta's new subguns one time, and I don't even know what that thing is called. I forget. I'm sorry. I should have looked it up. But they make a pistol carbine that takes the same magazines as their 92SF or their M9 for the military. It's all plastic. Looked really cool. I thought this would be a great, great gun. Great, great idea for military personnel and some of that stuff. And Beretta normally makes good stuff and just good concept. I think it was kind of a piss poor design delivery. Couldn't use the sights on the gun at all. Like, the sights were designed to be backup sights, and I would have to take my face off the stock to use the sights. It was really designed to have an optic, which sits up way high, so you wouldn't co-witness your sights with your optic. And with the optic on it, it might have worked better, but I only had the open sights, and I don't know. I have never been really a Beretta 92 fan, but I thought it would be cool to have. It was a lot, it was really lightweight, space-age plastic, looked tough and durable, wasn't bad to shoot. Took the Beretta magazines, but those sights are just, they were junk. I don't know why they even put them on the rifle. Just junk. Just worthless. And the last one I kind of put in here was the old M1 carbine. I shot one of those. I had one of those for a while. I know it's not exactly a pistol caliber carbine. Those things are awesome. I wish somebody would make a modern version of one and they would start making bullets to go in that thing. Really, an M1 carbine or a 30 carbine round is a 9mm round on steroids. The case is about twice as long and there's still a 9mm bullet coming out of there, but it's moving out at like 2,000 feet per second. And then you have this rifle that didn't weigh anything. I had one, the wood stock one with a bayonet lug and everything. The thing still weighed less than 5 pounds. It didn't weigh anything. And the magazines were cool. You had the single stack 10, 15, and 30 round magazines. Just, they're in that size family of weapon. And they were astronomical. And you'd get, well, the penetration you get on one of those, I can't imagine what it would be going through a wall with that a 9mm round moving twice as fast as anything out of your handgun. But the stopping power, World War II, they complained about it because they're used to the 30-06, that big round. The stopping power was, you know, compared to the 30-06 is nothing. But compared to a handgun, the M1 carbine power of that little round is pretty impressive. If you ever get a chance to play with one and shoot one, I highly suggest it. I think you'll fall in love with one of those little rifles and want one. If I could have found modern ammunition for the thing, I would have used that as a personal defense weapon just because it was so small, so light, worked so well, was so versatile. Really liked those things. But anyways, I digress. The last one you'd probably think of is a Thompson submachine gun. And those are civilian versions out of there, but they're hard to come by. Kind of cool. They're 45 ammo. The first thing you figure out if you haven't picked up one of these Thompson is that thing is stinking heavy. It's like 11 pounds. People talk about it not recoiling at all. Well, it's because the dang rifle is so freaking heavy. So, and then you put the, well, you can put a 50-round drum magazine on there, and then what's that, 15-pound rifle without any optic, just open sights? And the thing cycled super slow, like 600 to 800 rounds per minute, so it was really controllable for the GIs that used it and the gangsters and all that stuff. Just a really cool gun. I wish I could have one just for history's sake. Don't think I'd use one at all to think about defending myself just because it's so heavy and so bulky and so it's big. But a lot of fun if you ever get a chance. So if you ever get a chance to actually run a pistol caliber carbine, I think you should. And once you fire it, I think you'll either, like me, find the Caltech is not anything close to anything that you would want to carry or use, or you fire that Ruger PC9 and go, wow, this is a really cool defensive gun, and I wouldn't mind trusting my life on this at all. Get out there, find some buddies that have one, borrow one, rent one from a range, go fire one of those carbines, and take a look at it for personal defense. it's a good thought. There's a lot of good advantages to it and a lot of good disadvantages. Just like anything else, you have to pick your poison and go for it. I am going to be waiting on the ATF tax stamp for the next 6 to 8 months, maybe a year at this point, so I can turn my Glock into a little pistol caliber carbine, put a stock on it and stuff. Should be a lot of fun and experiment, and should be a lot of fun to play with. Anyways, that's about all I have to say about those carbines. Lots of fun. Wish I had one. I'm going to have to find me one of those Rugers again. Have a good week. And remember, your carbine, your pistol, your rifle, and your knife, they're only tools. Your mind's the weapon. Train it well.
Ben, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that very much. Folks, I was going to wrap the show up with Ben, but right after I recorded segment one, my good friend Matt Chusnick from Austin, Texas, phoned in this voicemail. So I am going to play this voicemail for you. And by the way, speaking of voicemails, please keep calling. Next week's show, I'm gonna address all the backlog of voicemails that I have. There are several of them, so that'll be next week's show. Will be a voicemail podcast. Matt, I can't tell you how much I thank you for this voicemail. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Hi, Bob. It's Matt Chusnick from Austin. Hey, this is actually a flat-out message for everybody to hear. Right now, I just read a post on Facebook that Bob's going through some rough times with his family. And I wanted to put something out there for everybody. I want to introduce you to Bob Main, my friend. Not Bob Main, the podcaster. Not Bob Main, the firearms instructor. But Bob Main, my friend. This is a man who, when I have been down at my lowest points, I've talked to him, and he has mentored me, he has helped me, he has given me guidance through time, through rough times. I just want to say, Bob, I appreciate everything that you have done for me in the past and everything that you'll do for me in the future. I want to let you know I consider you part of my family, and I hope the feeling is mutual. But even more than that, Bob is a man who will give you the shirt off his back and not think twice about it. He gives and gives to all of us. And right now, if we can all give a little of ourselves to Bob, give him a little of our thoughts, a little of our prayers, a little of just that day-to-day kindness that he gives to all of us, I think he would appreciate it, and I know he would feel the love that comes from all of us who listen to him and all of us who know him as a friend as well. Thank you so much, Bob, for everything you do, and I'll talk to you soon. And my wife and I both look forward to being in your first C concealed carry class, so we're waiting on it, and we're looking forward to it. We'll see you then. Bye.